I've got a word for you tonight. I think that will be helpful and inspirational. How many here know we need the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit, not just in a Sunday night? We need him daily, regularly. Early church practiced the presence of the Lord. They believed that by the Spirit of God, he was with them every single day, not just on the Lord's day, every day. So here we go in Genesis 2, 8 through 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Father, there's fresh anointing here. It began this morning in the early service. It carried on into the second. It culminated in a father and son committing themselves to your son, Jesus, in that service. And now again, as we've opened tonight, we have sensed the rising power of your presence in our midst. So we receive the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. God wants us to shift, but it must happen within our hearts. That's where the shift needs to take place. We have a heart problem. Now, there's nothing like hearing a cardiologist say to you, you have a heart problem. It gets your attention. And when God tells us you've got a heart problem, it better get our attention. Because immediately, if your cardiologist tells you you've got a heart problem, the first question you have is, so what are we going to do about it? What's the remedy? What's the opportunity? What's the prognosis? And with God, we need to ask the same question. We've got a heart problem. We need to shift into a new gear, into a new dimension beyond the next level. We need to hear from him the steps we need to take. See, it's not about a level of comfort. Churches enjoyed comfort in this culture for a lot of decades. It's all about character. God's interested in our character. God sends people into our lives to get us off the X. It took too long to get this man out of the one I was to back off now. It's devil stomping time. Amen? I said it's time to beat on him. Now it goes on to say in the scripture, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. See, there are benefits you receive present in a service like this. Present because we are here together. These are benefits you're not going to receive if you only try to punch in or clock in using technology. You may hear a message, or you may hear music, or even see it, but you don't receive the same as it is when you are actually in the service with God's people assembled together as the body of Christ. Ezekiel 47. Then God brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Say, water is flowing.
Water is flowing.
Right? In both accounts, there's water, a river flowing that brought life. Let's read on. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. That tells you something supernatural is happening. Amen? And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. God has set some things in place to affect the body of Christ. And God has placed us not somewhere out on the back 40. God has set us where we are and where we need to be in the future, in the center of everything, for a reason, not accidental, because he desires our community to live. And life is destined to flow out of us at Calvary Christian Center into our community. We are to facilitate life wherever we are in our community. God placed man in the Garden of Eden, and the scripture says there was water flowing out of the garden, and God placed his temple in the middle or the center of Jerusalem, and water flowed out of it. The kingdom of God is within us. Jesus said, and I shared a few Sunday evenings back, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within us. Amen? He needs to be on the throne of our hearts. His lordship is over us. And I used Iron Man as an example. Remember? He had metal lodged into his heart, so he had to create a device to keep the metal from killing him. And that light represents Christ on the inside of us. When we receive Jesus through repentance, he comes into our lives and creates life so we can live now. Amen? We were sentenced to death, but we can live now. So what he does within us, he desires to do with his church, but on a greater scale when it's magnified through all of us collectively together. So in Eden, God places Adam, and a river flows out of Eden. Calvary, there's something great living in our hearts. There's something great living in this temple, his church. Now, this is not for the religious. So if you're a religious person, there's still coffee and donuts for them. Okay, all right. This is not for the religious. This is for those in relationship. Because when you're in relationship and you hear truth, it makes your baby leap. I mean, you get excited. Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, and he's put in charge. He's naming each and every animal throughout the Garden of Eden. Think about the amazing reservoir of intellect that Adam had, that every animal God creates and he brings to Adam, Adam has the privilege and stewardship of naming that animal. It's incredible. He made decisions that were in keeping as the steward of the garden. It was his responsibility to care for it. And those who manage or own a business will relate to what I'm saying right now. Those who don't do either might struggle a little bit with the concept. There are certain calls one makes when they oversee or steward a business. Others don't always understand those decisions. I steward business at the church. There has to be stewardship among the employees that work with you and for you, and if not, they can ruin your business. Adam was responsible for Eden. It was his to administer. So first of all, our business is people, reaching people. We are representatives of Jesus' kingdom. And where we go and bring living water, we are to release the flow of his presence interactively with whomever God puts around us and in our path. When we are religious, we dam up the flow. What we have inside of us, we should minister, whether it be in a care center, in a hospital room, in our small groups, wherever we are interacting with people, particularly not only the household of faith, but people that are not a part of the household of faith, allowing our prayers to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And when we do, we release living water. We're releasing the living water of God that flows out of us. Jesus sent his followers out two by two, and he gave them responsibility. And he said, go to the people and share this good message, heal the sick there, and say to them, if they receive you, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So they were learning and understanding when the disciples came two by two, the followers of Jesus, and they were willing to listen to what they had to say, that you're going to be blessed because the kingdom of God has entered your realm. The kingdom is here. They were to release blessing and peace to those who received. Peace be to your house was the prayer they were to pray. But if people refused to hear them or rejected the message they came to teach, here's what Jesus said. Whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Okay? That's a pretty strong word there. There's power residing in us. Kingdom authority if we learn how to receive and then give. But too long, the people of God have learned how to receive his presence and his blessing and his bread from heaven and living water and then just kind of capped it. It's kind of good. I've got this. No, it's supposed to be flowing out of us as it flowed out of Eden, as it flows out of the temple, and we're representatives because now we are the temple of the Lord. Secondly, a priest was given responsibility to preside over the temple. Now, in many places in our culture, and it's pretty unique to our Western culture, many churches are ruled by committees, and you've heard of those. Maybe you were once a part of those. Control and power supersedes that of any God-appointed or anointed leader that God has raised up to be a gift to the church. And in those churches where they're ruled by committees, there have been wars and rumors of wars for years. We are to respect each office and person in the body of Christ and the way he has formed his kingdom. All of us need one another. We all need to love one another. We are to respect the input of leadership. But in his kingdom, he never wants his kingdom ruled by committees. Let's form a committee. Well, committees are the death knell to most of those kinds of organizations because that means this gets tabled for God knows how long while committees argue and fight and discuss and throw opinions all over the room and no one seems to be able to come to conclusions. We recall that at one point, Eli the priest was in charge of the temple, but he failed in his stewardship when he failed to correct his son. And God judged the temple because of Eli, not because of his sons. He judged them in a very unique and unusual way, separately. But he judged the temple because of Eli's failure to be a good steward. He judged the temple because he did not address the abuses that were going on right there at the temple door. Eli was the one in charge. It's all in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3. And the word says there was water flowing out of Eden and water flowing out of the temple of God. And I'm preaching to you truth from God's word, not just made up some concepts here. If God's going to bring one more great awakening, we must get our house in order. God's work cannot be led from a cultural perspective. That's not the source of living water. But with the release of God's favor and the wellspring, we leave here and have impact with all those around us all week long if living water is flowing out of us. And we all need a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. Come on. Samuel Rodriguez sent me this, and he said some things about the church in our day, and I thought, wow, right on, brother. You know, we look around the world that we're in, the culture we're living in, And we look around at what's happened. I don't know about you, but there are days I'm absolutely amazed that how did we get here? How in the world are we allowing this kind of thing to go on in our culture today? It's kind of like Toto. I'm feeling that we're not in Kansas anymore. You know? I mean, it's that kind of a moment where you go, where are we? What happened to us? That's the truth the church needs to hear today. The days of, and Sam says here, I want to quote this, the days of passively following Jesus are long over. Over the past few decades, our culture has changed drastically, transforming America into a land of moral relativism. And if we are honest with ourselves, the church has largely been asleep while this has taken place. And I say, amen. I'm not the only one hearing this. I'm not crazy. I'm hearing the voice of God. Amen? And then he writes, we have forgotten we are engaged in a real spiritual battle against spiritual forces. The spirit of Pharaoh is pulling people into captivity of destructive vices and addictions, while the spirit of Jezebel puts them into bondage to sexual depravity and perversion, while the spirit of Herod is murdering our children through abortion and selling and sex trafficking them all over the place, and the spirit of Goliath is intimidating God's people with religious persecution and threats of prosecution. And I thought, wow, what a great summation of the world that we're living in today. So we are tempted, and every pastor has faced this, none are exempt, we are all tempted to sacrifice biblical truth on the altar of expediency and what makes people comfortable, and fail to call out the lies of the enemy and fail to teach the truth of God's word because of fear of people not wanting to continue to show up, because I can go to the next church and they'll make me feel really good. They won't tell me what I need to hear. If we don't recognize the gravity of this situation, we're going to lose our ability to be called salt and light, amen, in our culture. God always begins by turning the lights on. And he's trying to turn the lights on in our culture today. Amen? He's called us to be light. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men so that they can see the things that you're doing in the name of the Lord and glorify my Father which is in heaven. God wants to turn lights on in the darkness. And then he writes this, while there may be real dark spiritual powers at work against us, there's a spirit alive and more powerful than any other, the Holy Spirit of our Almighty God. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Come on and shout hallelujah. Amen. So we're looking at the day in which we live, and we're called to be living water. Let the living water flow from us. Amen? If living water flows out of us, God's going to touch our community. If we're truly we're lit up as the light of the world, then there's no Pharaoh that the enemy can raise up that can hold God's people captive any longer. We can still find those who say, let my people go. Amen? And there is no deep hole that anyone has been dropped into in any kind of depravity and perversion, but what God can rescue and redeem and restore and renew and take the blinders off. And we're starting to see people come out of lifestyles that we've been told cannot be changed, that they are forever, you were born that way, and all kinds of other lies being told and perpetrated against people. And now we're watching people come out of those lifestyles and declaring, Jesus Christ has made me clean, and I am free indeed, amen? We're watching what God is able to do. And for every Herod that wants to kill and destroy and harm children, thank God, there's still a John the Baptist or two who will get up and shake his finger in the face of that Herod and say, you are not living according to the will and the purposes of God. What you're doing is evil and it's sinful. Amen? And thank God there still are Davids out there that are not afraid to run out into the battlefield and face those giants and take them down. And we're called to do that. And so look at this. Eden and God's temple were the places God chose to flow water out of. No matter the recent water levels, even though at times in churches they've been pretty low, we have access to fresh springs. Amen? How many are ready to flow with His presence? How many know the waters are coming our way? How many know there are clouds on the horizon and they're filling with God's blessing? Amen? When God chooses to flow out of us, it's not because we have a new degree or we think we've increased our intellect by some means. The truly wise thing to do, we have to align ourselves where God is flowing and say, Lord, wherever I've been out of alignment, I want to get back in alignment. We need to learn to align ourselves where God's Spirit is flowing. It's not about the man. It's about the King in us. And God chooses to do things by His principles. There was a flow coming out of Eden. There was a flow coming out of the temple. Now, we have to learn to control our emotions with the presence of the fruit of self-control. It's a part of the Spirit's work in us. We need to learn to control our emotions and not get angry when we hear the truth. We've got to understand our example needs to be different than that of the world. The truth we should embrace, even when it stings, even when it bites. It's the truth we know that sets us free. You shall know the truth. You have to know it, and that will set you free. We embrace His truth, and there's a release in our lives. We shouldn't get our backs up when a preacher comes and speaks to us and teaches us the truth, and it steps in our territory or gets in our space. We should say, thank you, I needed to hear that. So listen how the word of the Lord works and the Spirit of God works and why worship and the presence of the Holy Spirit working through worship brings a word from the Lord. And the prophet Elisha says, now bring me a musician. That's why I love to worship and speak with God when there's worship music going on around me. I will create that in the atmosphere where I am in my prayer time or in my personal study time. Bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. The promise of God for refreshing is what came out of that worship session and that time with God. Water represents the Word of God. And God's Word, listen, God's Spirit will fall upon those places that are well watered with His Word. God's getting us ready. Sometimes the people are not ready, but God's trying to get us ready. Sometimes the community is not ready. But a great awakening is about those needing God to be impacted by Him. It's not about us feeling happy. Revival is about reproducing. And when the fire of God arrives, it will fall on the water, the word that's already been scattered and planted. Cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it after many days. For all the sowing of bread into the world that's been done out of this nation, where we have sowed the gospel into all the nations of the world that we can find. If there ever was a nation that God stands ready to pour water back on, America stands ready for spiritual renewal. Cast your bread upon the waters. We've been doing that, right? You will find it after many days. Stay steady. The rain is coming. The ditches we've dug will be filled with water. Before we turn around and wake up in the next day, The presence of God will have flooded every ditch and filled every place we have dug out with fresh water. Now, fourth, God's nature is still the same. So his source within us will produce the same results. Victory. Amen? Greater is he within us than he that is in the world. Our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in the one who lives in us. Our confidence is not in our ministry work or of the church or of the name of the church, because we're human and people get tired and discouraged and disturbed, but we need the flow happening. So our confidence is always in Jesus. He has not changed his commission to us to go and bring good news to all people. That's the first and foremost commandment that God's given us when he charges the church with its mission. Get out and go tell everybody the good news. My goodness. Sometimes we get so embroiled with all these kinds of programs and things that the least thing that gets done is the mission. Right? And I'm thankful he's with us on the mission. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen? So no matter what you face, in the good times and the bad, he's there, always at your side. And he's never too busy. He's the first one there when you send out a shout for help. He's always there. Amen? When we open the word, we see how God operates. It's his methodology. He hasn't changed much of that. There we discover how God thinks. Then we place ourselves right in the middle of what God wants done. And we take what the template looks like and we bring it into the 21st century and we begin to do it, because maybe they didn't have coffee shops and maybe they didn't serve donuts. They probably served falafel. I'm not sure which. But whatever they served, they had fellowship, they had all kinds of relationships going, and it's a relationship. That methodology has not changed. It may be a different look to it, but the purpose is just the same, building relationships. We place ourselves right in the middle of what God wants done, and we say, we will do it your way, Lord. Read his word. When we see how God operates, we see he flows from within us. He flows from within us because we are his temple. So collectively, God desires to flow from within us outwardly. So I desire that we be a people of God who can flow out into our community and watch spiritual refreshing and renewal happen all around us. Renewal is not just for us. It's for all of us in our community. And fifth, under the lordship of Jesus, there's provision. Now, hear this. It's one of those truths that, ouch, many want what? Right? Many want his what? Read it to me. Many want his provision without making him Lord. That's not the way it works in his kingdom. So I'll be the bearer of those tidings. His kingdom operates by very principled margins and parameters. Provision comes when he is Lord. Amen? When he's Lord. When we seek first his kingdom, meaning we're willing to put whatever else over here on the shelf. I mean, there's so many things that can dilute us, so many things I think I could do well and enjoy doing, but I know if I start getting myself into some of that stuff, it's going to dilute what I'm supposed to be doing, so I stay away from that and discipline myself, and I kind of have a little bit of the sense of what Paul meant when he said, this one thing I do, because that's the gifting that needs to be sharpened and focused and needs to be looked at, that we continue to increase that gifting and that ability, and we seek first the kingdom, we take other pursuits, and we make our time sacred, where we seek him and be with him and spend time with him and then share with his people. Amen? So how do you think the founders of Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby achieved the breakthroughs that they've had in business and now are able to have such influence in making great things happen in the kingdom of God? How do you think they got where they are? By never showing up for church, rarely showing up for church, by not bringing God what belonged to him? I doubt any of those were in their purview. If you read anything about either one of the two founders of these companies, here's what they have in common. Both of them will tell anybody, we put Jesus first, period, okay? Their businesses are closed on the Lord's Day, period. They're in God's house on the Lord's Day, period. Their businesses are larger than all the competition, even though those businesses are open on the Lord's Day and theirs are not. Theirs are larger because they honor God on the Lord's Day. Where are they on Sunday? Doing business? No. They are serving the King. I'm here today. Does it make any difference how much money I've earned, how many business franchises I've opened? I'm in the house of God on the Lord's Day serving. Here I am. I'm a servant of the Lord. That's their attitude. That's their heart. That's the way they do life. They never stop bringing the tenth, and now they give far more than that. God's word gets us through anything, and God's word brings results. Out of Eden flowed a river with precious stones. Out of the temple flowed water that provided healing. I wonder what would happen for the church if all of a sudden we actually began to put God and his kingdom first with serving, with bringing him his tithe. Let me tell you, miracle provision and healing will flow out of his living water. God will provide when we honor him by making him king and putting him first. And we can begin something right in here if we truly make him king and know where the water source comes from. And when we do, that brings God's renewal. I don't know about you, we desperately have to have God's renewal. You won't have to cheat. You won't have to scrape. God will send us what we need if we, in faith, put him first. Say, Lord, I know the temptations. I know the nervousness and the concerns, and I better go do it. And I say, Lord, I'm going to lay all that aside. I'm going to put you first. And be careful when you get ahead. Be careful when provision begins to arrive. Never forget where the flow comes from. It's what keeps Truett Cathy and the Green family so impacting. They've never forgotten where the flow comes from. In fact, they give more and more and more away annually than they did when they began early paying their tithe. And those illnesses, those setbacks and frustrations, watch the miracles manifest when you get into the flow of the river of the Lord. Some have laughed behind your back, saying, "Ha, you're one of those religious crazies, right? But with the flow of his kingdom flowing out of you, you will have the last laugh." And go ahead and praise God, amen? And I feel something shifting. I feel something changing. And I want to declare to you, our best days are ahead of us. God's placed his kingdom within us, and if we allow Jesus to be king, things will shift for the good. Instead of bills you can't pay, you'll have enough to pay someone else's bills. And that's the heart of God, to bless you so you can bless somebody else. And when we acquire the mind of Christ, circumstances begin to change in our lives. Prepare the ditches. Begin to dig. There won't be room enough to contain the downpour God wants to release. Let's align ourselves. God wants to pour out his spirit. And notice the river in Eden flowed out and then divided into four river heads. In Ezekiel 47, when the river first began to flow, it was ankle deep. Notice how it begins to spread and begins to widen. The next juncture, it was knee deep. Then at the next juncture, it was waist deep. And the next juncture, we have to jump in and swim because it's over your head. Amen? And if you haven't taken swimming lessons yet, you better start soon because the water is going to flow. Amen? And guess what? The waters are going to be so deep, we're going to have to swim. And we better learn how to swim. Amen? Because I want all God has for me. We think we've been blessed. We think we've had breakthroughs. We are headed for deep waters. And I'm telling you prophetically that the revival that God is going to send our culture, an awakening that's going to make Azusa Street seem like the opening act of what God wants to do in the hearts of his people. That's why the devil tries to keep you out of here. That's why he keeps trying to fracture relationships and damage unity in the church. Why he has worked against you and worked against us. God's word reveals his will for us. And this is the season he wants to bring us his blessing. Can you handle what God desires to do in our day? Blessings from the unseen world are manifesting in the seen world tonight all over the world. They're just looking for an address. A welcoming sign outside your front door. It's not what he has that's the problem. It's our identity that has the problem. Who are we? We are the body of Christ. Collectively, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Does God desire to manifest himself to the next generation? Do we believe it is so? Is that his will? God wants to favor us, but if you've suffered abuse, been taken advantage of, listen, step away from that and trust your Father because he has favor for you. And he'll give you wisdom and provision and healing, and he will restore and be around those who know God's river is flowing. Get around people who are in the Spirit, flow in the Spirit, precious stones, living water. And if ever there was a day where you need to dig in deeper, don't quit now. Don't walk away from that marriage. Don't give up on your children. Don't walk away from your job. Don't abandon your state or your church. Everyone who's going somewhere, see it in the Word, has tough times before they arrive. You just don't get there on a bed of ease. When Joseph was thrown into the prison, one of the last evil things done against him, horrible what happened to him. You know, you don't read anywhere where he utters complaint. He's not whining. He's not railing at God. This is unfair. It's unjust. I didn't deserve this. I've done the right thing. I honored you. And look at where I am. He may have thought it, but he never verbalized it, never put pen to paper to make those kinds of comments toward God. But in fact, the scripture says that the word of the Lord continued to test him and allowed Joseph to go through a process until it was time for Joseph to have his dreams fulfilled. And he endured the tests. He says, sometimes God allows us to go all the way to the bottom before he takes us to the top. And some, we don't like that. We want to go right to the top. And God says, no, I'm going to put you to the test because you're going to have command of all the economy of the known world. And I want to be sure you're going to act justly and righteously and you're going to be favorable and reflect who I am properly. So we're going to put you in the furnace and let you get tested. And you're going to get tested royally. But if he had not gone into the prison, he would have never met the royal butler. So God had a purpose even in the difficulties and in the pressures and in the painful emotions he must have experienced, because without the royal butler, he would have never been spoken of to the Pharaoh. And without the Pharaoh, Joseph would have never been made second command in all of Egypt. Amen? So listen to me. We don't give up. We don't quit. We don't run away. Listen, we see in the Word tough times have always been a part of prior to success. So you get around those in your connection group. You get around those in that small group where you pray together. You read the Word together. You believe together. And you will see tough testing times will close and God's promotions will begin to manifest. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. In just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Some walked away in years past. And when they begin to see God's favor showing up, and some of them have already started doing that. Pastor, do you remember me? Oh my. Do you remember me? God's bringing us into a season, and some who have dogged you out suddenly want to become your friends all of a sudden. It's okay. God's river is flowing. Amen. He will bless them too if they'll make him king in their hearts. It's flowing. I said it's flowing. I said it's flowing. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. Anybody thirsty here? Does anybody want fresh water? Does anybody want your ditch filled with the presence and the power of living water? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You can turn a faucet off, but you can't turn a river off. It's flowing. Rivers of living water. I feel it. I sense it. I know the Spirit of the Lord's voice. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That's the promise of God for those who love the Word, who love the King and His Word, who love making him number one in their life. We've got a Meyer lemon tree. Well, we've got several of them, actually. And they're just the best lemons, just my opinion. And they sure make a wonderful chocolate lemon pie, I can tell you. My goodness, so good. They'll be ripe in about another month. And then we'll have some fun. And I was looking at them the other day, and they're flourishing. Lemons everywhere. And they're getting so big, I watched the branches start to get pulled down. And some of them, they're in clusters. They're not just one. There's several together in clusters. Flourishing. More than we could ever eat. My goodness. And I thought, a blessed season. And the Holy Spirit is trying to ask us a question that's similar to that. He's saying, do you know what season this is? Do you know what we're entering? God says, you're still having church, but it's harvest time. It's harvest time. When it's harvest time, fruit comes in clusters. It comes in groups and in bunches. It comes all of a sudden. There'll be enough on one branch to take care of all your needs. Are you ready for the best that God has for his people? Are you ready for the best that God has for the people that we love? Your family, your friends, your children, your siblings, your dad, your mom. It's harvest time. There's not just something on us. There is someone in us. We have a king in us. And when you're on God's mind, listen to me, when you're on God's mind, he puts you in the man and woman of God's conversation and drops your name into their hearts. God has a plan for each one of us. So don't come into his house with a negative attitude, because you may be on God's mind for blessing, and that will neutralize it. The eyes of the Lord are on you. And there's no devil in hell that can stop you. You are his temple, and he is flowing out of you. Pastor, money's been funny lately, but it's flowing. I said it's flowing. The devil's been busy, Pastor, but the river is flowing. And watch what it does. Wherever it touches, it brings healing. The river of God is flowing. How about we jump in and start swimming? Amen? So Calvary, those I love, and God has a plan for, the people of the Lord, I want us to have a new baptism of God's presence, a fullness of the Holy Spirit, an explosion within us, an artesian well that bubbles up in us, that goes right up through us and out of us. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Who here tonight is ready to dig some ditches and create a place in your heart for God's rain to come and fill, so that there's an explosion of living water that comes up out of you, so that not just you, but your family, even the animals around you are blessed, the scripture taught in that passage, because there's such refreshing that everything around you is blessed, because living water heals everything it touches. Amen? So who here tonight wants living water to flow in you once again? Now, you may have to go take a look and say, that well hasn't bubbled over in a long, long time. How about tonight? You hunger and thirst. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. So there's some action I have to take. First of all, is anybody here thirsty? Or are you satisfied with what you got? I'm not. I want more. I said, I want more. I want more. I'm going to have more of what God has for me. Let him come to me. So what do we do? Do we just stand still where we are? No. We get up and we go to where he is. We take action and we go to the presence of the Lord. And we say, I'm a part of the family. This is your church. I belong. I'm a part of the temple of God. And I'm going to join the rest of my family members in coming to you as a group, as well as individually. I'm coming to you. Let him come to me. Come to Jesus and drink. I want everything of your character and your nature to start to fill my life. I want to become more like you. And out of his innermost being shall flow rivers. Not one, plural, rivers of living water. And everything it touches is blessed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get ready to worship. Let's step into the presence of the Lord.